We believe that election is the eternal, personal, unconditional purpose of God, in which He accordingly regenerates, sanctifies, and saves lost sinners. It excludes all boasting. You and I have nothing whereof to boast in ourselves. In excluding all boasting, it promotes humility. Love. An increased love for God. An increased love for one another. It promotes prayer. Seeing such a great and awesome God, who is able to do that, not because of anything in us, but because He loved us. I can't explain why He loved me. I find it at times hard to love me. But He loved me. Chose me to be His. Ordained me to eternal life. Because He ordained me to eternal life, I believed. I believed with the faith that He gave me. To believe. How does that not drive us to our knees? How does that not cause us to bow our heads in prayer to Him? And when you know the answer to that, please share it with me. In other words, what I'm saying is, the times I do pray is because of God and what He's done for me. But I ought to pray so much more than I do. But it not only promotes humility, love, and prayer, it promotes praise. Praise. And how do you separate praise from prayer? There's a certain element of praise that ought to enter into our praying. But I have, for the sake of enumerating on it, for the sake of expounding on it. And as I was thinking, what if I were to ask you, each one personally, what's it mean to praise? What does it mean to praise God or someone. We quite generally find men praising men. Why do they praise men, generally speaking? Why would understanding the eternal purpose of God as it revolves around election and the salvation of lost sinners, and how would that promote praise to God? What really is praise? The songs which we just sang, constantly abiding, a shelter in the time of storm. Help me with the last one, brother. Huh? Yeah. These are hymns of praise. And we would say they're hymns of praise, but what do we mean when we say they're hymns of praise? What do we mean when we say we're praising God? Well, the simplest definition that I could reflect upon is it is the expression of gratitude for God's favor bestowed upon me. These songs that we sang this afternoon and this morning, and in one fashion or another, they're extolling, they're expressions of gratitude that we owe unto Him. Thus we sing praise. And thus, praise ought to be incorporated in our prayers. We ought to express gratitude to God for who He is. He is holy and righteous and just. We ought to express gratitude for this holy God, this holy and righteous God. What He's done for this unlovable sinner in saving my soul, the favor that He's bestowed upon me, the mercy that He bestowed upon me and bestows upon me every day. We ought to be praising Him. We ought to be a praising people. And not just when we enter in to the assembly of the saints. Yes, we ought to do it then, and we do it then together in unison. But we on an individual basis ought to be doing it every day of our lives. Praise is part of our worship to Him, part of our falling down before Him, because He has done so wonderfully in my behalf. I'm probably mistaken in this. In fact, I think I researched it and I found a couple other instances, which we did find a case. There is a couple other instances in the book of Genesis where it wasn't necessarily maybe called praise, but it was expressions of gratitude to God for his favor and for what he had done on the patriarch's behalf. Before we come to the book of Exodus, and probably one of the greatest songs, it's a song of deliverance and a song of praise to God for his deliverance of Israel out of bondage and out of the hand of the army of Pharaoh. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 15, in fact, we have a song not in these praise and worship hymn books, but in the hymns of praise book that is taken is from this 15th chapter in the book of Exodus. Here, Moses and the congregation of Israel enter into a song of praise to God for the favor he bestowed upon them in delivering them from so mighty an enemy as the Egyptians. Verse 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" Who's like our God? Do we realize there's no other gods? There's no man who is like God. There's no man that even begins to compare to God. Our God who is like thee, glorious in holiness. You see how the praise is flowing to God for who God is? Fearful in praise. Fearful in praise, doing wonders. he's a fearful God. He's an awesome God. He's the one that we ought to reverence as, but we at the same time we ought to fear such a mighty God as he. And I know I don't fear him like I ought to. I know I can be well assured you don't fear him like you ought to. Or we wouldn't be guilty of doing some of the things that we do if we feared him as we ought to. And we have great reason to praise him. He is our deliverer. And he is long-suffering and patient with us and merciful with us. Praise him. He does wonders. We sing that song from time to time. Brother Michael make mention of it. Count your blessings. Name them one among one. And every time I've sat down to do that, I've been so ashamed. Because God is so great and wonderful and has showered me with great blessings, and I have trouble filling up both hands counting the blessings of God. There are great blessings that He has showered and showers upon His people. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. These in Exodus were the people that experienced it firsthand. They witnessed it firsthand. The awesome power of God to deliver them out of bondage and out of the hand of the Egyptians. But every one of us have experienced firsthand His deliverance, His mighty power to deliver us. Listen, I grew up in church. I was born to parents that from the time I was born and as soon as mom was able to get back out there and go, we went to church every service. We went to church whenever there were special meetings. We were church-going people. I grew up in that atmosphere. But not loving God. Oh, making a profession of faith at a young age. And that was for all the wrong reasons. That was for reasons only known to Seth Bourne, to honor Seth Bourne, to glorify Seth Bourne. And realizing over the years that I don't think I really got salvation. Boy, I kept trying to turn over new leaf, and I kept trying to stop doing this and stop doing that. And I'd get involved in this and try to stop doing that and get involved in this and try to stop doing that. But I was a good Christian because I went to church. And I love to sing songs. All my labors and all my workings and all my strivings couldn't do anything to give me a right standing with God. Trying to turn over a new leaf did nothing to give me a right standing with God. And then one day I stopped being sorry because I had sinned, had did bad, and therefore I needed to reform my life. And I saw myself a sinner, lost and condemned. without any ability or strength to do anything about it at all. And being without God and His Son, Jesus Christ, I was without hope. He gave me Jesus Christ, caused me to see Jesus Christ. He's the one I needed to trust in. Only He could deliver me. Only He could transform my life. And He gave me the faith to believe. So I experienced it firsthand. I witnessed it firsthand. And you won't convince me otherwise because I was there the day that God did that great miracle. And I haven't gotten over it and haven't wanted to get over it. I praise Him. For what He bestowed upon me. And so Moses here rehearsing with the children of those fathers. The children now getting ready to go into the land. They're there. They're there. But Moses has to pass off the scene. Joshua has to take the leadership. But Moses is leaving them with instructions. And he said in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21, He is thy praise. God is thy praise. The Lord is thy praise. And He is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. All that you've seen. You now children, become adults. All that you've seen in the wilderness wandering and how God has delivered and sustained you and fed you and gave you water and fought your battles with the Ammonites and put the fear of you in the Edomites. You've witnessed this firsthand. God's mighty power to deliver. He is thy praise. Praise Him. We can't praise Him enough for what He has done. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 67. And look with me at verse 3. The psalmist here, speaking to his people, speaking to the Israelites, he said, let the people praise thee. You Israelites, you praise the Lord. Let the people praise Him. O God, let the people praise thee, O God. Yeah, let all people praise thee. Let all the host of Israel praise thee. Let all men everywhere praise the Lord. All men everywhere have a reason to praise the Lord. They don't see it. They don't realize it. But God is being long-suffering and merciful with them in their sin, in their wickedness. That's reason to praise the Lord. They have reason to praise the Lord for this great creation which He has created that sustains man, whereby God feeds man and sustains man. The air to breathe, just the right of amount of carbon dioxide and the right amount of oxygen. Do you ever think about that? If there was no vegetation in the earth to take in the carbon dioxide that we exhale, what do you think would happen? We would die because we would run out of oxygen and we can't live on carbon dioxide. But the plants survive on carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen. Which we need. Does man everywhere have reason to praise God? And do they praise God? No, they don't praise God. They deny God by saying, oh, it's evolution, God. There's no God that did that. This stuff just happened. And it just, the plant life just happened to grow up like the plant life grows up and taking in carbon dioxide that we exhale and giving us oxygen that we inhale. And that would just happen. Foolishness. The fool, Psalms 14:1, has said in his heart, no God. Let God's people praise thee, O God. In fact, let all the people praise thee. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Okay, people of God. I'll start reading. Then I just got to put in a plug. I can't leave it go. But ye, people of God, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. All believers are made priests and kings unto our God. We do not believe in the priesthood of the church. The Holy Spirit here led Peter to pen these words, and Peter is not writing to a specific church. He is writing to the saints scattered abroad, everywhere. Saints. And he says concerning the saints, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's a side note. I won't charge you for that. And holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean odd, weird as in the head. That means a special people, a people unto him, unto God. His special people, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth. Here it is, that ye should show. That word show there means to announce, to declare, to proclaim. To proclaim forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See the favor that God bestowed upon you that moves us to announce, to declare the praises of our God. And we ought to do it here in the assembly, lifting our voices up to God in song, but we ought to do it out there in the streets, praising God for what he has called us out of. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if he had not called us, we would yet be in darkness, loving our evil deeds. See the call that is beholden upon us who have received the favor and blessings of God? Turn with me back to the Psalms now. Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord. That's what we just did a few minutes ago. See, now there are three songs. Three songs of praises. Extolling our God, our Savior. For the favor that he's bestowed upon us. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. You see, David writing this psalm and writing this psalm to his people, to Israelites, where God is dwelling in Zion, in Jerusalem. At this time, most likely, because David wasn't allowed to build the temple, all they had was a tent made for the Ark of the Covenant to dwell in. And David had taken it to Jerusalem, made Jerusalem the holy city, dispelling the Jebusites and taking control of the city. And God was said to meet there and to dwell there in on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubims. Declare among the people his doings. Declare among the people his praises. Declare among the people the favor that he has bestowed and blessed upon you is what he calls them to do. Turn with me to the 33rd chapter. The 33rd chapter in verse 2. Well, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, For praise is comely. Praise is beautiful. It's beautiful to the child of God. It's beautiful to the saint. And it's beautiful to the Lord. Our praises of him ascend up a sweet odor into the nostrils of God. Praise the Lord with harp. I got in my mind, I've seen a few harps in my day, and one strumming that instrument with many strings. I don't know exactly what shape and how many strings were in the harps of David's day. I believe I read that the harp was probably 12 strings that they strummed. The word actually means twang. They twanged upon those strings. David played the harp, and it soothed the evil spirit that had entered into Saul when David would play. But it tells us to praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery. There again, my readings and studying, the psaltery seemed to have been if you just take a look at one half of a bottle, in a bottle-shaped form. It was in bottle shape. And it was stringed. Probably, in my mind's eye, would have been something close to our violin or our fiddle of today. You can kind of see the bottle shape in the violin and then the gooseneck bottle with the strings on it. But let that be as it may. They were to praise the Lord with it. And an instrument of 10 strings, whatever this instrument was. Basically, whatever the stringed instruments were, they were to use it, not to the satisfying of the flesh, not for worldly purposes and goods, but they were to use it to praise the Lord. To show their gratitude to God for the favor that he bestowed upon them. One other passage in the Psalms, and I can't skip by this one. Psalms 150. Because basically that whole chapter, 150th chapter of Psalms, is admonishing us to praise him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. That's what we're considering this afternoon. His mighty acts of favor to us. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That was incorporated in Moses' song of praise, was it not? Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Whatever interest instrument that God has given you the ability to praise, to play, you ought to praise Him with it. When we sing specials in the church, and when Brother Mike sings a special, which has been a long, long, long time, and I know probably every song service he feels like he's singing a special. We're not singing to praise man. We're not singing to praise, to please man. We're not singing so that we can get comments and really enjoy your special. Really, it was really good. No. We're praising the Lord. We're singing to the Lord. That's of the mindset. I've seen men who at least the appearances on their faces and actions, they were singing for the applause of men and not singing to the Lord. The Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said they have their praise. If we receive the praise of men, we have our praise. Don't expect any from God. Yeah. Turn with me to one last passage. The book of Hebrews. And chapter 13. Gonna read. Well, no. I'm going to do it this way first. Verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, by Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. As I was reviewing this verse again, and it's not, this verse is not new with me. I have known this verse for many years. But the thought occurred to me, why do you think He called it the sacrifice of praise? Why do you think He called it the sacrifice of praise? Because expressing our gratitude, this is one of the thoughts that occurred to me, expressing our gratitude to God, to Jesus Christ, for His favor bestowed upon me, is a sacrifice that is offered. And it's a sacrifice because this flesh, you see, it's natural for the flesh. It's natural for natural humans to want the applause for themselves. It makes them feel good. It builds them up. But our praise is not to ourselves. Our praise is to God. It's to His Son. It's a sacrifice. It's an offering that we offer up to Him. And this fits in with the context that is being expressed here, I think. So to get the context, go with me back up to verse 10. Verse 10. We have an altar. What was an altar for? An altar was for the offering of sacrifices. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. That was strictly for the priesthood, not for the Levites. For the bodies of those beasts, pay attention to this. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherever the tabernacle camped, the bodies of those beasts, the fat and the caul and all, was to be burned without side. The tabernacle, outside of the camp of the tabernacle. You're in Jerusalem, you have the temple, the bodies of those sacrifices which were offered were burnt outside of the gate, outside of the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood offered in the sanctuary, suffered without the gate. He was crucified. He was put to death outside of the gate, outside of the walls of the city of Jerusalem, on a hill called Golgotha, Mount Calvary. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're outside of the city. We're seeking that city, as did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They were just pilgrims and strangers. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto our God. Why? Because we of all people ought to feel in our hearts the gratitude for his favor that was bestowed upon me. His favor. His grace. He graciously went to the cross of Calvary outside of the gate and died, being made a curse. Galatians tells us, being made a curse, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why was he made a curse? Why did he die in such a fashion as that? He did it for me. How can I not praise him for his great work of grace and mercy, which is a manifestation of his love for me.